Coming to you from Orange County, California, this is the Jug Life Podcast with Max Ada and Chad Wesley Smith.
Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here, Jug Life Podcast, joined, as always, virtually today by monumental Max Montana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. Having a good time today.
Well, you just got to have a fun Skype, fun Excel talk with Garrett. That's always...
As exciting as the artificial intelligence in Terminator is, building the artificial intelligence training platform, not nearly as exciting.
How did that call? Was it 30 minutes as advertised?
I got off the phone at 1:24, and so it was about 2 hours.
Yeah, that sounds about right. To brag about Max so he doesn't have to do it for himself, and you guys might have seen this on social media, but I said monumental Max Montana today because he has earned quite a distinction in that he became the only coach, to our knowledge, and we have quite a bit of knowledge, so it's probably the only coach ever, American coach at least, to have lifters qualify for both senior national teams, or the senior, the open age group for IPF Worlds, with Megan Scanlon being officially named that last week, as well as IWF Worlds with Alyssa Ritchie two times now, as well as, and I guess you had already done these ones, we just hadn't really sorted it out, but American records, senior level American records in weightlifting, with Kiana Welch, among others, and senior American records in powerlifting, where Megan Scanlon has squat and bench.
Yep.
As well as senior level national champions in both powerlifting and weightlifting, where Meg won nationals at the 57 kilo category last October. And you've had probably six or seven of those for weightlifting now.
Yep.
So congratulations, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's pretty cool.
It's cool to see that. Yeah. I was, as a coach, I think you're always just kind of focused on trying to do a better job, trying to get a little further. You don't necessarily stop and think about that, and I'm definitely not I don't think either one of us is the type to go on social media and proclaim our greatness, whether it's real or imagined. So it's cool, and I appreciate you acknowledging that, and I appreciate seeing it. It means a lot when you have success in that,
It's pretty cool. I mean, those are three very, very significant things that a lot of other people are striving to do all the time and have not.
Yeah, it's true.
So today's podcast topic we actually got from a fan on Instagram, OliNate109. So thank you very much to OliNate109. And he originally had asked me how good of a discus thrower did I think that Zion Williamson would be. Zion Williamson, this incredible basketball player for Duke, 360 dunking on people all the time. His high school highlight films are the craziest shit ever. And I told him that'd be a short episode because I'd just say he'd be incredible. He would be one of the best ever. Really, he's 6'6", 6'7", 280 pounds. People are talking about a 44, 45-inch vertical. I'm not sure if they're referring to standing or with an approach vertical there. I can maybe go with he has that high of an approach vertical. But just a phenomenal athlete, clearly incredibly coordinated, all that stuff. So then he said, OliNate109 then suggested, well, what about just professional and mainstream sport athletes we'd be interested to see compete in strength sports or Olympic sports? And I think as a sports fan and people involved in these sports, it is exciting in some regards and humbling in other regards to to think about if, you know, an NFL player decided one day, like, oh, powerlifting, that seems cool, let me go do that, how overwhelming they would be in it. I even remember Misha Kakhlyayev saying, you know, it was when he was did weightlifting that he was a sportsman, you know, which Russian people would refer as like a professional sport athlete, but that strongman was just sort of like a hobby. And you know, I came from track and field background and had thrown pretty far, and sometimes feel like that as well. Sometimes feel like, oh, you know, track, shot put, that was the real sport. And more so when I started powerlifting back in like 2010, 2011, like, oh, you know, this is definitely not the same level. The level of competition has risen exponentially since then. But, you know, if some of these athletes were to forego their millions of dollars and decide one day, like, hey, you know, or if they were born in another country, you know, where instead of being an NFL running back, your, you know, childhood dream was to be a weightlifter, man, things could get pretty, pretty wild.
Someone once asked me at a seminar, you know, what would you do if you had somebody that was as talented as, you know, some kind of, you know, someone who's talented enough to be a, you know, NFL player, pro, you know, really is going to be a pro sports athlete, could do that. How would you train them? And I said, I remember thinking to myself, well, I'd feel pretty terrible, you know, ripping somebody off for millions of dollars just to have them compete in weightlifting or powerlifting. So I'd have to really question myself every day I woke up, like, man, Princess P really gonna be a great weightlifter, but man, should I really be doing this? I mean, there's millions of dollars in whatever else she wants to do, you know. Yeah, but we nationals coming up, so.
Speaking of Princess P, who, if you guys aren't familiar, is James Townsend's older daughter, Perseus. 5 years old. She can do like 70 push-ups, and she's the most amazing child ever. Besides her and her little sister Freya, Janice was telling me that she, for like 2 years, has been coaching the sons of Noah Bryant, two-time NCAA shot put champion, and his wife Kate, who was also a discus thrower at USC. She's been coaching their kids in weightlifting since they were 2 and 4 years old.
And she never told anyone?
She just told me about it on Saturday at her meet. So between the Townsend daughters, the Bryant kids, Rocco Pomponio.
Yes, yeah.
2032, 2036, Team Juggernauts shaping up to be pretty, pretty strong.
It's true. Well, we got school age. School age is only another probably 8 years there, 10 years there for some of them.
I mean, I would say about 10 – within 5 years, Perseus is probably 45 kilo national champ level.
Oh yeah, within a couple of months.
So just diving on into this, and you know, we want to hear in the comments who we missed and who you think it would be. These lists for most of these sports could go on for dozens, if not hundreds, of names of people who would probably be incredible. So I just kind of pulled out names that I knew had either backgrounds in the sport or, you know, had somewhat verifiable, whether that's combine numbers or videos and stuff of lifts they had done and jumps and all those kind of things. So leading off with powerlifting, you know, for powerlifting, I think so the ideal powerlifting body, the Ed Cohen body, is really a bad body type for almost every other sport, particularly ones that involve running, because you're going to have, you know, pretty short legs for the most part.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of, you know, professional football players and stuff who might have, you know, huge deadlifts because they have really long arms and long legs, but kind of a bad body type for some of the other lifts.
Yeah.
But as you get, you know, there's guys who are just going to be so powerful and so wired that it's not going to matter either way. So my pick is as number one mainstream sport athlete I would be interested to see do powerlifting is Andrew Billings, who's a defensive tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals. And in high school, growing up in Texas before he went to play for Baylor, he broke the Texas high school powerlifting record held for 23 years by Mark Henry by doing 805, 500, 705.
Jesus Christ.
And, you know, the Texas high school powerlifting is single-ply competition.
Right, right.
But it's really a crapshoot from what I've heard of, like, how old that equipment is, how well it fits anyone. You know, that some guys been they're wearing a shirt that's 10 years old, and it's just, you know, their school has, you know, three bench shirts, one for the biggest guys, sure. One for the medium guys, and one for the small guys kind of thing. So I don't know that if how much Andrew Billings is getting out of the equipment. He played college football at Baylor. And when he was a freshman there, I knew some of the strength coaches. Shout out to Keith Catton. And Keith told me that, you know, that he was just unbelievably strong. Like the type of strong where it was like, you don't need to lift these heavy of weights to be good at football. Like it's just not, it's not worth the energy. It's not worth the risk. When you break a record from Mark Henry, maybe the most talented strength athlete of all time, you're strong as shit. So Andrew Billings.
I would have put Larry Allen on that.
Larry Allen is coming in the list. Larry Allen could fit many, many places on this list, I think. Yeah. And powerlifting, you know, so many of these guys could cross over to so many of these different sports and be hugely successful. That's why they're getting paid millions of dollars to do what they do, while we're getting paid dozens of dollars to compete in powerlifting and weightlifting. But James Harrison, I think that's going to be one that a lot of people pick. You know, I've seen a video of him doing dips with like 180-pound weighted dips. They talk about him benching over 500, squatting over 700. He is a guy that I wouldn't be shocked, you know, now that he's retired. He clearly loves to train hard as hell. James Harrison, if you're listening, like, do a powerlifting meet. That would be awesome. Yeah. He seems like he might be one who would actually do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And the list for powerlifting would be endless.
It's huge. Basically, any of them could be good powerlifters.
Yeah. I'm sure you could get a guy, you know, like some of these real lanky defensive end types who are a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney is 6'7", 260 with a 41-inch vertical and, you know, arms so long like he can scratch his knee without bending over. Like he'd probably deadlift without that much training into the 800s and go well beyond that with time because he's just incredibly powerful. Like
I know we all have goals to hit, whether it's eating healthier or exercising more, and sometimes it can be hard to achieve all these goals while struggling with other aspects of life. There's an app that I highly recommend to help you hit those goals a bit easier. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes so you can read or listen to them. Blinkist is made for busy people like you, who want to get the main points of books quickly without reading the entire book. With the audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish 4 books a day just while you're on the go. 8 million people use Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library for self-help, business, health, to history books. I like Blinkist because just while I'm cooking breakfast or something, I can get 15 minutes quick information in. You know, maybe I'm just driving around running errands, and so it's so easy to enhance your day, enhance your knowledge in short bursts throughout the day. I've read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People on there, one of my favorites. They got tons of health and nutrition books like Sleep Revolution on there. So right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for our Jug Life audience. Go to Blinkist.com/Jug Life to start your 7-day free trial. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/Jug Life to start your 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/juglife.
We could keep listening to people for powerlifting, but we'll move on to weightlifting.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, one of the most common kind of things that people, when they're saying, well, why isn't American weightlifting better? It's because all the best athletes are in football and basketball and baseball and other sports where they're making money. And there's definitely some truth to that. With that said, so much, you know, when you look at weight classes for weightlifting, the new 10 weight class system, there's no one in the NFL who would be under the 81 kilo class. Maybe the smallest defensive backs and wide receivers would be, what's the next class for men? 74?
Yeah, 73.
73? Yeah, probably not any guys who could fit in the 73s. So we're looking really at 81s and up, and mostly 102s, 109s, 109 pluses. And are there guys who would be freaks of nature in those? Definitely. So I think it is a big deal that we're missing on, you know, so much of the A level talented athletes. But, you know.
Yeah.
The USAW stipend program has improved a lot.
You just don't have that. Yeah, I mean, when your weight classes end as well too at like 109, you'd have, if you did have all those top guys in weightlifting, it'd be ridiculous because you're not going to have funding for 10 dudes all in that weight class, yeah. Right?
I mean, if the NFL didn't exist and weightlifting was the thing, like every kid in America, you know, grew up with a Shane Haymon poster on their wall, the number of supers that would be had would just be unreal. Oh, going back to powerlifting, even though he's another Olympic sport athlete, Christian Cantwell, that would be a very interesting one.
Yeah.
At least as a bench-only competitor, he's benched, you know, 650, 660, touch-and-go, shot-put style bench. So that'd be exciting. So, but for weightlifting, we could have a thousand incredible supers.
Yeah.
But the thing with so many of the football players is that they're 6'7", you know, they're 6'7", 6'8". Yeah, Lasha is 6'7", but that's so atypical. So when I was thinking about people for this one, I was really focused more on like the really squatty, explosive running backs.
Yeah.
You know, those little fire hydrant bodies. And there is one fire hydrant bodied man, proportions of a midget when you see him in real life, who stands head and shoulders below the rest. Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I watched him from high school football at De La Salle through playing at UCLA, then with a good NFL career. At the combine, 5'6" 1/4" tall.
Jesus. And
there he weighed 209, so that's 94 kilos. But he definitely got bigger as his career went.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been told by Mike Velasquez, the Cal strength coach who worked with MJD in high school and still would in the offseason, that he got as heavy as 235, so about 106 kilos at 5'6" tall. Fridge-like proportions. One of everyone's favorites, Ilya Ilyin, would be in about that same range. I'd say 5'6" and is getting as heavy as like 115. But what Ilya Ilyin is not doing at his refrigerator-like body weight is running a 4.39 40.
God, that's absurd.
4.39 40, 36-inch vertical for MJD. He's my number one pick of a very long list of athletes that could be incredible weightlifters. Saquon Barkley, the rookie running back for the Giants. There's a video of him when he's at Penn State, doing a full clean, a rugged full clean with 405, 184 kilos.
Yeah, Jesus.
Barry Sanders, I'm sure, would have been amazing.
I'd heard Barry Sanders had like a power clean like 170.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprising at all. You're that short, that explosive, that quick and changing directions. Yeah, he's changing more side-to-side directions, and in weightlifting, you got to change from up to down. But Darren Sproles, for current guys in the NFL, I think Tariq Cohen, the running back for the one of the running backs for the Bears, very, very short, very, very explosive.
Yeah, I mean, those guys would be just unbelievable because their body proportions are fantastic. You know, a lot of those guys are especially MJD, but like they're just so like they already look like top level weightlifters.
Yeah,
and in a lot of cases, they're probably not doing a heck of a lot of weightlifting. Yeah. Not like weightlifter is. It's ridiculous.
Jerick McKinnon, the 49ers, not too far away from you, so maybe we can recruit him. 5'9", 210, 41-inch vertical, and 32 reps of 225 in the bench at the combine. Not that the bench is a strong weightlifting success indicator, but the man is incredibly strong and explosive. So, you know, if you're an undersized running back and you don't make it to the NFL, hit us up, jtsstrength.com, and we'll gladly – you know, work with you and your 40-inch vertical to get you going in a weightlifting.
It's almost unfortunate because some of those guys, I mean, you got to get the guy who just can't hold the ball, you know? Yeah. The guy who just can't keep his hands on it or just drops all the time. Like, everyone's making fun of him in high school and college, but just the most powerful human being you've ever seen. Yeah. That's the guy we're looking for.
And I've talked about this before in the letter to USAW thing, you know, talked about the need for them to establish this relationship with NCAA strength coaches, because if you go to a school like Alabama or any of these big SEC schools or Cal, you know, same stuff, schools that have football, gymnastics, track and field, just between those three sports, a school with a Division I athletic program probably has got 20 plus people who aren't going pro in their sport and are 1 to 3 years away from international team level weightlifting. You know, the fifth string running back at Alabama, yeah, he was a 5-star recruit or 4-star recruit out of high school, but you know, maybe he can't make the NFL for whatever reason, or guys who can't make through NCAA clearinghouse academically, so they're never getting the shot to play college football or do college track or whatever their sport is. And you see it coming from, you know, those are the sports that I think there's a really big wealth of talent for.
Yeah.
But Morgan King was a soccer player. Ariel Ford was a swimmer. You know, that you're getting Kaiser Witt was a swimmer. Like, you're getting people from non-traditional strength power sports who are excelling in weightlifting as well.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, MJD, he's retired now. He's got time on his hands.
Yeah.
Still very stumpy.
Yeah. I know I heard stories of his squatting in like high school. You never know those numbers, but impressive numbers from what I heard.
Like 585 out in the quad or what?
He didn't have the record like that fellow. Whoa. I did not expect that. Yeah. Yeah, big numbers like that, like 600 plus. But I mean, you never know depth and whatnot.
Yeah, I know at UCLA he had a lot of the lifting records for the football team there. Moving on to strongman. So this is where there's probably the most exceptional potential, in that there's hundreds of guys who are 6'4" plus.
Yeah.
You know, up to 6'7", 6'8", and weigh into the mid 300 pounds and are athletic and agile and strong. You know, as I started thinking about names and thinking, I really like the NFL Combine, so I'd follow that. And I was like, man, who's just a D tackle or an offensive lineman who just stood out? And then the light bulb struck me as about maybe five years ago, defensive tackle coming out of Memphis, who just kind of rocketed up draft boards, now plays D tackle nose guard for the Carolina Panthers. Dontari Poe, his combine performance, 6'4", 345 pounds, with a 4.98 40 and
Jesus.
44 reps of 225.
God, that's ridiculous.
I mean, that is a shitload of man moving.
Holy shit.
And, yeah, I have full faith that he would move pretty well with a yoke on his back, with farmers in his hands. He's just a huge, powerful dude.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think J.J. Watt, that would be another fun one. He could, J.J. Watt had like a 37 or 38-inch vertical at 6'6", 290, 295. Yeah. He's a guy who could fit in so many of these different spots. He's a guy who seems like he might do – he would hop in a powerlifting meet or a strongman contest.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just a guy that loves to train hard. And
I could see a lot of those guys doing like a strongman contest just because of the novelty.
Yeah.
And like that, yeah.
That was when football players didn't make a ton of money back in the like 70s, they were doing World's Strongest Man. John Gamble, the guy who gets his ass beat by Bill Kazmaier in the sumo wrestling.
Yeah.
He was like a Pro Bowl, currently in the NFL at that time, Pro Bowl offensive lineman.
Oh, shit.
And I was a strength coach for the Bills for a while. Also, I can't believe that offense lineman used to look like that, because he is lean and he's smaller than Kaz, but he's big as shit.
Yeah. Different time.
Yes. Yes. All right. So going on to the shot put, this is one that a ton of the players in the NFL sure threw the shot put in high school. Many of them probably threw in college as well. I tried to not take that into account too much. Right. And there was no one who jumped out in my mind as a current NFL player who was a great, great thrower in college. I know Joe Thomas, who's he just retired from the Browns, he'll probably be a Hall of Famer. He was like Big Ten champion 1 year in the shot put. Vince Wilfork retired a couple of years ago. He was ACC champion in the shot put when he was at Miami. But for just basing this on the physical abilities and the shot put, when you look at guys like Christian Cantwell, 6'6", 350, down to, our buddy Adam Nelson, about 5'11", 6', 260, there's a pretty broad range of body types that could be successful.
Yeah.
As long as you're very, very explosive, very, very coordinated and fast and strong. And a name that was mentioned earlier here, I don't know if he had any background throwing the shot put in high school or college, but I'm sure he would have been good at it, is Larry Allen, which the kids out there, the kids might not know Larry Allen. Larry Allen was like two generations of NFL player ahead, playing offensive line for the Cowboys, great teams in the 90s, and then with the 49ers, very, very long career. 6'3", 325. But this is still when the offensive linemen, it was rare to have a 300-pound offensive lineman. You were getting more 270s, 280s. But being 325 in 1994 would be the equivalent of him being like 400 pounds now.
It was huge.
And he wasn't just huge. He was, by the clip that you're going to see right here, where he runs down a linebacker after Troy Aikman throws a pick. And Larry Allen runs like 30 yards and hawks this linebacker from behind. He's incredibly fast and explosive. Oh, by the way, here's a video of him benching 700 pounds. Yeah, it's not paused, and maybe the spotter touches it a little bit.
Some guy also jumps over his belly, too.
It was reported that he squatted over 900 pounds. Again, we can't verify these things. But holy shit, he's obviously a freak. People I know who have played in the NFL talk about playing against him, practicing against him, how fast he was, how with one arm he was just overwhelming their entire body. Larry Allen, that's if no one had any shot put experience and we could just go off physicality, Larry Allen, number one pick.
He could probably throw a shot put like a baseball and still do pretty well.
I wouldn't be surprised. For current NFL players, there could be hundreds of guys because of the broad body type that can work in the shot put. Tons of guys could get picked. Aaron Donald, the Rams, the defensive player of the year, 4'6", 8", 40 at 285 pounds. Watch him get off the ball. In a football game, he's explosive as shit.
Yeah.
Miles Garrett, the number one pick from a couple of years ago, 6'4", 275, 4'6", 440, and a 41-inch vertical.
Jesus.
Tyron Smith, you could get a lot of, you know, some offensive tackle, defensive end types, making the glide great again in America. Make American gliding great again. That's a MAGA with two G's. And, yeah, there's a ton of them, but just freaky, freaky athletes. Now, in the discus, which is kind of what this started off with about the Zion Williamson question, Zion would be up there. But in the shot put, I tried to overlook past actual experience in the event. In the discus, I could not do the same thing. And this is probably a player that not as many people know about outside of maybe Indianapolis Colts fans and SMU Mustangs fans, but the defensive tackle Margus Hunt for the Indianapolis Colts, I think he's a free agent now, he is the only person ever to win the European Junior Championships. So this is 19 and under. European Junior Championships in the shot put and discus in the same year. He threw 67 meters with the junior discus. That's like 228 feet with the 1.75 kilo discus, and was in America training at SMU with a great coach, Dave Woolman. And then they dropped their track program, and he wanted to stay in school but didn't have, you know, the money for it. So he's like, oh, okay, I'll just walk on to the football team. He's from Estonia. I don't think anyone in Estonia plays football. They do throw the discus very well. So he walks on to the football team and earns his scholarship really through this specialty of blocking kicks. He has the NCAA record for most blocked field goals and extra points. And how does he block all these kicks, you ask? Well, being 6'8", 285 with a 38-inch vertical is probably how he blocks so many kicks.
Jesus.
And that is just an unreal specimen of a man. Someone who I'd be very interested to have on the podcast because he has this unique background. Yeah, so,
great background.
Margus Hunt, if you're listening, holla at me. Besides Margus Hunt, if you pick about any, you know, small forward or power forward in the NBA, yeah, they're going to be really, really good at the discus. If you're very explosive, tall, and have very long arms and are extremely coordinated, like professional basketball players are, they're going to be very good. Zion Williamson, LeBron James, Dwight Howard, yeah, they're all going to be really good. It could become a thing of being too tall, maybe. But I would have been interested to see an Orlando Magic era Shaquille O'Neal with a discus in his hand. You know, before Shaq got a little too heavy, he was a phenom. NBA Inside Stuff, watching NBA Inside Stuff when I'm like 8 years old. Shaq on the Magic, holy shit, he was a monster. But yeah, tons of basketball players would be incredible in the discus. These rangy kind of defensive end types, offensive tackles. Even, you know...
I heard that Wes Barnett, who was a great weightlifter, was a really good basketball player as well. I'd be curious to see if there's any of those similar type bodies could have done well in weightlifting. I don't know if they'd be top picks compared to NFL people, but, you know, I mean, a lot of those guys might actually do decent as a little bit heavier guy, 102 or 109.
Yeah, I think the tougher thing with the basketball players to weightlifting, at least guys who are actually in the NBA and we know their names, is that, well, it selects so much for having really long arms. That's so helpful in the NBA. But, you know, the best weightlifter doing it, Lasha, is not a traditionally proportioned weightlifter by any stretch. So,
yeah,
there's a lot of people who can do it. And even for discus throwers, his name is escaping me, but there's a guy who was on the world team, 2017 world team, who is like 5'10 from the U.S. Anthony Washington was a guy in the 90s, like 6 foot, 240, and throwing, you know, 70 meters. So if you're just fast as shit too, yeah, you can do it. And Well, there's plenty of fast as shit people in the NFL and NBA.
Yeah.
Javelin. The javelin. One of my buddies is NCAA, two-time All-American in the javelin, the former Cal school record holder and Pac-10 at the time champion. So he and I were talking about this, and we've talked about, you know, what football player, what athlete would be the best javelin thrower. And he was talking about how it's not just about having the cannon arm. It's also the athleticism, the rhythm to get in a very awkward position, to bring speed down the runway, to be kind of elastic and all that stuff. So this is another one where it's a very long list of names could be fit in here on the cannon arm alone side of things. But the one that stood out to me is Patrick Mahomes, you know, probably the strongest arm in the NFL right now. They say he can throw a football 80 yards.
Jeez.
He also was, you know, drafted for Major League Baseball. So the guy's great at throwing things. And if you watch him play football, he's definitely extremely coordinated, extremely athletic, runs well. He's going to be able to get himself in the weird position you need to for the javelin and make it happen. I'm sure Patrick Mahomes would do quite well. You know, of current NFL guys, Josh Allen, Cannon, huge, fast, Cam Newton. The list will go on. Most NFL quarterbacks are going to be very good. For historical kind of people, John Elway, Brett Favre. Yeah. You know, John Elway was football and baseball, professional level in both of those. I think that's kind of the magic combo is if you have a football baseball guy, you know he's coordinated, he can run. They're going to be really good.
Imagine if your phone was the same as it was in the 1940s. This is exactly when the technology you were using to clean your air was developed. The last major innovation in air purification was in the 1940s with the invention of the HEPA filter during the Second World War. Molecule replaces 50 years old antiquated technology by introducing a breakthrough science that is finally capable of destroying air pollutants at a molecular level. Molecule makes a meaningful impact for asthma and allergy sufferers. One customer even said that she was able to breathe through her nose for the first time in 15 years. Breathing clean air transforms the way you sleep, particularly if you suffer from asthma or allergies. We're not immune to the air around us, so if you're susceptible to allergens and pollutants in the environment, it's going to affect your sleep, it's going to affect your recovery. Many Molecule customers have reported feeling energized after the best sleep they've had in years. Molecule's technology has been effective and verified by science, but most importantly, it's been tested by real people. Molecule's already helped allergy and asthma sufferers around the country better cope with their conditions and significantly reduce their symptoms. For $75 off your first order, visit Molecule, Molecule.com and check out, enter Jug Life. That's Molecule, Molecule.com, enter Jug Life for $75 off your first order.
But when you look at the javelin world record holder, he is atypical in, you know, the body type that is associated with the being the best for the javelin. Jan Zalesny is about 5'9", 175 pounds, 80 kilos, and threw 98 meters. He's got something like 6 of the 10 farthest throws of all time, was number one in the world for over a decade. So, you know, while most people making their first round draft pick in the javelin would probably be picking someone 6'3", 6'4", 5'9", guys, the best to ever do it. I heard a story about Jan Zalesny doing pullovers, so a really big exercise for javelin throwers, that at 80 kilos body weight, he could do a 140 kilo pullover.
Holy shit.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if that is true, but even if it was 100 kilos or 120 kilos, it's still amazing.
That's a bizarre metric. I don't know
exactly
how to equate that to something. I mean, but that is a massive weight to do that with.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing, like, I don't know if he threw 98 meters because he could do 140 kilo pullover, or if he could do 140 kilo pullover because he could throw 98 meters and his body was just constructed into this, you know, overhead spring kind of situation with like lat and shoulder tendon attachments that were, you know, mutant, like he was just born to check it.
To the back of his pelvis, just below, just behind his femur or something. Like. Yeah.
And then, so last throwing event here, hammer throw. Hammer throw is kind of unique among the throwing events. You have to be very fast. You have to be very powerful, but not the same kind of strength levels as required in the shot put or the discus. And another one where you get a big range of body types from like a Sergei Litvinov, who's 5'8", 5'9", maybe 200 pounds, up to some other guys like Jed Logan, who's 6'4", 275.
Yeah.
So it's something where the person's got to have great rhythm, great coordination, speed. Long arms is very helpful. Being explosive, that's going to be huge. A name that jumped out to me, because he's got to get in here somewhere because he's just that much of a freak, Vernon Davis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Vernon Davis at the NFL Combine, 6'3", 258, 4'3", 840, 42-inch vertical, 10-foot, 8-inch broad jump.
Super strong, too.
Yeah. I don't think you make your body go that fast and that high when you weigh 250 if you're not super strong. Plenty coordinated to play in the NFL for over a decade. And so Vernon Davis, he'd probably be good at the hammer throw. For a current player, someone who kind of stood out is Darius Leonard, who is this great middle linebacker as a rookie this year from for the Colts. 38-inch vertical. But what really stood out about Darius Leonard is if you just look at him, the first thing that you notice is, holy shit, this guy's arms are long. 6'2" with an 82-inch wingspan.
Jesus.
So, yeah, 6'2 with a 6'10 wingspan. That would serve him well in any of these events. But the hammer throw particularly, I think Darius Leonard, you led the NFL in tackles as a rookie. So I guess football will work out for you. But if not.
Yeah, it might pan out. It might go somewhere.
Yeah.
Stick around there.
On the all right, these last couple ones, the sprints. A lot of fast guys.
Mm.
One fast guy who is faster than the rest. You watch him play football, it's clearly evident, and he's got the real track times to back it up. Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs. In high school, Tyreek Hill ran 20.14 in the 200, and in the summer between high school and college, he ran 9.98 in the 100.
9.98?
Yes. Tyreek Hill would also be incredible in weightlifting because he's built like a little mini Mack truck. But that's true world-class speed. You know, he was a junior world competitor. That's where he ran the 9.98. That's legit huge track speed. He's got acceleration, which you can see on the football field, and then top-end speed shown by those track numbers that are very, very, damn, very rare.
That is unreal.
Yeah, I remember when Chris Johnson, CJ2K Chris Johnson, who had the fastest 40 ever at 4.24, hence got broke a couple of years later by John Ross, but he was talking about how he could beat Usain Bolt in the 40. And last week before the Super Bowl, Usain Bolt was there, and they like, oh yeah, you know, run this 40-yard dash, and in like not quite sandals, but almost sandals, he ran like a 4.2 something. And I've gotten into this debate with people before about what are the 40 times at the combine? Are they, how legit are they? Because they're an odd mix of electronic timing and hand timing as to what is the official time. The official time is whatever each NFL scout sitting in the stands records the guy at. The thing that they put on TV is just for TV. Like, the teams care about what their own scout gets.
Yeah.
But you get, you know, 4.2s and stuff, and they say that Bo Jackson ran a 4.15, but then I've heard about Ben Johnson, you know, running like a 3.8, a 3.76. And
holy shit.
Yeah, there's a big discrepancy hand time to electronic time on this stuff, But in this debate once, I found the 10-meter segments for Usain Bolt's 9:69 world record when he ran that. I think it might have been the 9:58, but either way. And, you know, looked at his 30 and 40-meter splits and figured out, okay, this is what it would have been at 40 yards, and let's subtract his reaction time because a 40 starts when you move, not when a gun goes off. And fully electronic timing, he would have been in like the 4-1-1, 4-1-4 type of range. But if you switch that to hand timing, that can be like a 3-8, 3-9. As fast as Tyreek Hill is, 9:98 in the 100. Usain Bolt ran 9:58. That is a world of difference.
Yeah.
Several worlds, maybe a universe of difference.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, he would be the one. You know, there's not many guys who run 9:98 before they get to college. Like, he's legit track speed beyond what anyone else in the NFL has.
Yeah.
Another interesting one, and probably for our international listeners, they're probably like, well, what about the other football, soccer? Cristiano Ronaldo, that dude's fast as shit.
Yeah,
maybe not as much in the 100, but there'd be a lot of soccer guys in the 200 and 400 who would be pretty remarkable, I think. Moving on to the jumps. So long jump, triple jump, high jump, you know, is a bit different, but I think this guy would be pretty damn good at all of them. Safety, all-around defensive back for the Cowboys, Byron Jones, has the combine record, 12-3 in the broad jump, and also put a 44.5-inch vertical to go along with that.
Holy shit.
He's even better than James Townsend in these regards. Wow. James could fit in either of these last two categories. But
yeah,
that's high. That's far. That's a guy who runs in the 4.3s to go along with it. So he's bringing plenty of speed down the runway. Byron Jones would be amazing. In the long jump and triple jump, I think you get a lot of NBA guys who would be great because they're more reactive jumpers rather than having just a great standing vertical, which have an old article called the vertical jump formula, something like that. The vertical jump equation, maybe. And it talks about how low NBA players' standing verticals are at the NBA pre-draft camp, their equivalent of the combine, compared to NFL players. And it compared all of the NBA players from one year versus just the defensive linemen from that year's draft. And the defensive linemen were like 8 inches higher on average because they're stronger, so they're better in the standing vertical, where NBA players were average standing vertical, like 28, 29 inches. But you give them a step, 3 steps, and then it really starts going up. If you're an NBA fan, you watch Russell Westbrook play, that looks like a dude who's just flying down the court. Yeah, jumping out of the gym, I'm sure he would do very well, long jump or triple jump.
Yeah.
And then the last category I included here is the decathlon. And two names stand out here. Legends of football, of baseball, of training, of life. Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson. Herschel Walker versus Bo Jackson right now, decathlon, pay-per-view, I'm buying it. I'm definitely paying pay-per-view to watch that.
That would be an incredible battle.
Yeah, the guys who are legit college sprinters, Bo Jackson played 2 professional sports, Herschel Walker, professional football, Olympic bobsledder, MMA, he's a freak. They're both big as shit, like 225, 230. So the 1500 at the end of the decathlon, they're not going to be having a lot of fun with that. Pole vault, not sure what kind of pole vault pole they're gonna get to support them. You know, part of that 30 for 30 with Bo Jackson, it talks about him pole vaulting like 14 feet in high school and high jumping 6'8", 6'6", 6'8", something like that. He's just incredible, is it? Coordinated, explosive, every possible characteristic. And Herschel Walker, the same. They'd be monsters in the 100, the 400, the hurdles. They'd be great throwers, great long jumpers, great high jumpers, The 1500 would be rough. The pole vault would be a big question mark because I don't even know if they have poles to support guys who are 225, 230. But that would be an interesting one. Randy Moss, I think, would also be one of a guy who's super fast, incredibly coordinated, and is smooth in his movement. I was shocked, though, you know, looking at combine numbers for these guys to include in the list, that he only had a 33-inch vertical at the combine. So Calvin Jones, Megatron, could get on there. He's, you know, 6'5", 240 with a 42-inch vertical and runs a sub 4.4. He would do okay as well, I guess.
But, no slouch.
Yeah. Freaks. Freaks of nature out there. So, yeah, let us know who we missed, who you think would be great in the comments. Maybe some fun debate in here. The list could be pretty long for all these. And if you know of athletes who have, you know, actual backgrounds in any of these and impressive results, please share those. Max, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram, max_Ada, on Facebook, or email me, max@jtsstrength.com.
And make sure to check out all of our online coaching options through jtsstrength.com. Powerlifting, weightlifting, super total, strongman, power building, the weightlifting and bodybuilding combo. We got a lot of stuff. Powerlifting AI, people are killing it on there, really doing amazing with a great big community of people, about 2,000 people using it right now. Very active, very supportive Facebook community for that. Working on the weightlifting AI, power building AI, super total AI, all to come in 2019. So we're really excited about all that stuff. Follow me at Chad Wesley Smith at Juggernaut Training. Subscribe to the YouTube. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Thanks for listening to The Jug Life. We'll talk to you next week.